This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast, Manweb's weekly SME show highlighting critical issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. This week, we are talking business rescue and how SMEs can navigate the process both from the perspective of undergoing it or as a service provider of a business entering into business rescue. This process of attempting to preserve a company's life has been making headlines more frequently recently, actually. Just between 2019 and 2020, we have seen a number of companies like Edcon, SAA, Tongaat Hewlett, Comair, Stir Kinnecor being placed under business rescue due to financial issues. We here actually at Manweb have put out some extensive coverage on these companies and their business rescue processes. Some of the companies, like Stir Kinnecor and SAA, did manage to make it out on the other side, while others didn't. We can remember Comair, and others like Tongaat are still up in the air and still in the process. So we have seen business rescue play out in many different ways for big corporations. But today, we focus the lens on small businesses, and joining me to shed light on this is business rescue practitioner Tian Herbst of the Southern African Advisory Company. Welcome, Tian, and thank you for joining us on the show.
Hi, Kuna. Thank you for having me, and thank you, other listeners as well.
So, first things first, for those who may not be familiar with the technicalities of the process, can you please describe to us what is business rescue and which laws in South Africa govern it?
Yeah, I think picture this. A ship is caught in a storm, water is seeping in, threatening to sink it. Now, imagine seasoned captain stepping in, taking the helm, and steering the ship away from disaster towards safety. That's essentially what the business rescue practitioner does in the world of commerce. Also referred to in newspapers, you'll see the word BRP. In South Africa, when a company is caught in stormy seas of financial distress, we have a lifeline called business rescue. This is a process outlined in our Companies Act. It's basically a beacon of hope that aims to guide businesses back to the safe harbor of financial stability. The BRP is like a seasoned captain. They jump on board, take charge, and navigate the company through turbulent waters of mounting debts and shrinking revenues. The primary goal is to ensure the company continues operating, but if that's not possible, they don't simply abandon ship. Instead, they aim to reorganize the company to get a better return for creditors. That's a term that's also referred to in the industry, or to shareholders, than what they would get if the company was simply allowed to sink into insolvency or bankruptcy. So it's about maximizing the value of the company's assets, restructuring business operations, and renegotiating financial arrangements and contractual obligations.
Just to help paint that picture for listeners as well, you mentioned the holes in the boat or in the ship and the water seeping in. In this context, especially in recent history, I'm talking 2019, COVID-19 pandemic, 2020, can we then see issues like inflation, interest rate hikes, supply chain issues, fuel price increases, load shedding as one of those contributing factors that are plugging or are opening these holes in company ships?
That is spot on. And we have seen it increase yearly. It's and the COVID pandemic specifically, what happened during that period is that our economy, and I think one of my articles that I did submit to Moneyweb addresses that specific issue as well. And this is one of the examples that you've mentioned that I'm just short to elaborate on if, for the sake of clarity. With COVID-19 struck South Africa, we sort of had an artificial economy. So it was like a massive boom, interest rates were low, and companies were able to access finance quite easily. And there was a COVID strategy that Treasury and two specific billionaires in South Africa quickly put together, I think it was like in a week, in order for small companies not to succumb under this, under the weight of COVID-19. And the idea was that Treasury will back these COVID loans. They will undertake a backing. They will secure it. And then the banks will distribute these loans to their customers because they obviously have the systems and the footprint to do so. So what subsequently has happened, there was an agreement between Treasury and the banks where they stipulated that under no circumstances will the banks be permitted to renegotiate the terms and conditions of these COVID loans. If they do, then the banks become personally liable for that debt. And that is clearly having an enormous impact on small businesses because they had to take on this debt and they were forced to take on this debt and now they have to service this debt. And it is in line with the current interest rates as well. So yes, interest rates, load shedding, those are all really problematic issues for small businesses, and it presents daily challenges for them to actually navigate back to financial stability.
And in terms of the conditions then that a small business would have to have in their business to in order to qualify for business rescue and not liquidation, which is essentially a dead end scenario. Speak to me on those conditions that your business would have to be under for you to think, okay, business rescue and not liquidation is the best route for me.
Okay, I think your question is twofold. So let me first address the issue of liquidation and the difference between that and essentially business rescue. A liquidation scenario basically entails the ship is deemed unsalvageable. It's about selling off the assets at piecemeal usually and settling debts leading to the company's dissolution. But business rescue is different. It's about rehabilitation. It's about giving the company a fighting chance to recover and continue sailing. Now, exploring the factors and conditions that SMEs must meet to undergo business rescue, well, when a company finds itself in financial distress, it's essential to understand the criteria to determine if a business rescue is a viable option. First and foremost, the company needs to be experiencing financial distress, meaning it is struggling to meet its financial obligations and cannot find a way back to stability without assistance. The test is simple. You could either pay your current or non-current liabilities as and when they fall due within the next 6 months. If you see that you're not going to be able to do that, you are experiencing financial distress. So this is the primary condition that must be met for a company consider entering the business rescue process. Now, it's important to note that business rescue is designed specifically for companies and closed corporations. So unfortunately, if you're operating as a sole proprietorship or partnership, you'll have to look for other options to deal with your financial challenges. So business rescue is tailored to help companies and closed corporations navigate their way back to health, and those are the only two that will qualify. I think furthermore, the business rescue process must be initiated either by the company's board of directors, or it can also be affected by an affected person, which is either a creditor, shareholder, or employee. This step shows that there's an agreement among stakeholders that the company needs help and that there's still hope for recovery. So maybe in a nutshell, for SMEs to be eligible for business rescue, they must be financially distressed, structured as a company or closed corporation, and have the process initiated by the board of directors, usually what they refer to section 129 filing, or by an affected person that will bring a formal application to court to embark on this on a business rescue journey.
The emphasis on stakeholders. I'm always interested in understanding how business rescue practitioners decide who gets what in the process and how do they strike the balance between stakeholders. We've seen often in headlines how employees, service providers, and even trade unions in the context of bigger corporations have cried foul and shared sentiments that their interests were not being prioritized. So can you speak on how you guys decide who gets what and who takes precedent over whom?
I'm going to try my best to try and answer this question. Achieving a balance between all stakeholders in the business rescue process is essential, as it ensures that the rights and interests of shareholders, creditors, employees, and other affected parties are taken into consideration. The business rescue practitioner plays a pivotal role in maintaining this balance and facilitating the best possible outcome for everyone involved. Now, while no single stakeholder takes precedence over the others, different types of creditors have varying levels of influence when it comes to voting on a business rescue plan. For instance, secured and unsecured creditors, as well concurrent creditors, all have specific rights in the process. Although shareholders may have a voting interest, it's ultimately the creditors who hold the power to approve or reject a business rescue plan. After it's been adopted, there is what we refer to as an order of preference, and that is the way as to who gets paid first. And again, it's first secured creditors, then it is preferred concurrent creditors, and then concurrent creditors, and one way at the bottom is shareholders.
Mm. And can you just explain briefly those creditors that you just mentioned, preferred, concurrent, who are they and how do they qualify?
Yeah, there are three main types of creditors. You've got secured creditors, unsecured creditors, and concurrent creditors.
Okay.
And it's very important for the listener to understand where they fall into these categories. Secured creditors have a claim over specific assets of the company as collateral, whereas unsecured creditors don't have collateral to secure their claims. Concurrent creditors are secured creditors which claims rank equally among themselves, if I can put it simply. It's usually SMEs. Usual secured creditors will most likely always be the banks, because they will have obviously security in the form of a bond or a cession of debtors. Notarial bonds are also a form of security. Where concurrent creditors, normal trade creditors, they simply have standard terms in which they trade, and it's based on trust. And as a company files for business rescue, unfortunately, they fall in the concurrent tier. If that explains it. So an employee will have a preferential concurrent claim pre-rescue and will have a preferential post-commencement unsecured claim post-rescue. So it does get complicated, but in general, those are the three classifications of creditors. And interesting enough, in a business rescue scenario, SARS ranks concurrent with the trade creditors.
And just a clarity, the employees, am I correct in saying that they fall under unsecured creditors?
So they have a slightly more advantage than a normal trade creditor. Their rights significantly improves post-business rescue after filing, if the debts to them, if they get, for instance, retrenched. So their severance packages will have a special ranking for it. There's the case law, if any listener wants to investigate it, it's Merchant West, I think is the appropriate case law. And in there, they list the specific order of preference in which these creditors will be paid. So there is a differentiation between each tier and where they fall. And it's all dependent on the line in the sand, the proverbial line, which is what happened pre-rescue and what happened post-rescue. And that will have impact on you, yeah.
Sure, sure. And then the costs. I mean, we've seen with state-owned entities that often the covering of the cost of business rescue often comes from government in the form of bailouts. And then big corporations will have access to the big banks for funding of the process. What options do SMEs have in terms of covering the cost of business rescue? Can you explain the cost dynamics for small businesses?
Yeah, if you file for business rescue, you must understand that there will be a cost implication involved. And you must understand that the practitioner comes into your business and he sort of acts like a board member. He's like permanently employed and he will spend a lot of time on your business trying to save it. So for that reason, it becomes quite costly. You know, more it's got the same fundamentals as any project. You know, you've got scope, time, and resources. And all of those need to be in line in order to achieve the objectives. In our industry, we have a differentiation between a junior practitioner, I think it's called intermediary practitioner, and then senior practitioner. And each one of them can charge a specific fee. But you must also understand that in a business rescue scenario, and what we try to achieve, especially from the Southern African Advisory Company's perspective, is that the business rescue do provide an opportunity for a compromise with your creditors. So what we try to do is every rand that you, for instance, would pay towards the business rescue cost, the aim is also to save you that rand. So in the end, we want you to be better off when you're out of business rescue, but we also don't want you to be left with the massive burden of repaying the business rescue fees. But it remains a contentious issue, I would say.
And then just speaking on the SMEs now that act as service providers to companies that may be undergoing the business rescue process, what should they be doing to protect their interests? You did mention that there's an order of preference that develops through the process of who gets paid what first, and that's just how the game goes. But how do they ensure that they are protected in this process and they aren't finding themselves in debt for services that were rendered?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And unfortunately, those SMEs will most likely fall in the concurrent tier. And usually they are the tier that's usually compromised. I've seen business rescue plans that offer them 5 cents in the rand, where secured creditors can get 100 cents in the rand. But small businesses that serve as suppliers or service providers to larger companies undergoing the business rescue process need to be vigilant and proactive in order to protect their interests as far as they possibly can. They can do so by staying informed about the progress of the business rescue process, participate in meetings. There are two very important meetings in the business rescue process, which is the first meeting of creditors and then the second meeting of creditors. And then actively engage with the business rescue practitioner and his office or her office. It will also give you some clarity as to what's going on for you to prepare. I think maybe we should use an example. Consider a real-life example of a small IT service provider with a significant portion of its revenue coming, let's say, from a larger company now entering business rescue. Let's call it SAA. If the SME does not act proactively, it may face adverse consequences, such as delayed payments, loss of revenue, or even insolvency. They might even file for rescue themselves. But to mitigate these risks, the SME should closely monitor its cash flow and credit terms with the larger company, and be prepared. And that's very important. Be prepared to renegotiate the terms if necessary. One key step to ensure that their credit terms are legally sound and enforceable is to have them reviewed by an attorney and to make sure that at least those documents are in place. We often want to fix things ourselves, but in situations like this, it's essential to seek professional advice and collaborate with others. By understanding the purpose of business rescue and being proactive in addressing concerns or potential issues, the SME can minimize the risk of negative impacts on its own business. And maybe if you're in these meetings, have a look at what the secured creditors are saying and doing and proposing. They've got far more experience than you would ever have in the recovery industry, the banks specifically, and engage them. It remains a collaboration. Between all parties to see if everybody's interests can be protected as far as possible.
I'm sure someone listening to this may be alarmed to hear that. Is there any legal recourse or insurance that SMEs could undertake after the fact or benefit from should they find themselves getting the short end of the stick in this scenario?
Yeah. The business rescue plan gets approved by 75% of the creditor's voting interest. If you're a creditor, let's say there's R1 million of liabilities on the table, and you're a creditor that's only owed R10,000 and the balance is due to the bank, whatever the practitioner puts in the plan to keep the bank, for instance, happy and adversely affect the SME, there's nothing you can do about it. As long as the BRP or the plan gets approved by that 75% majority vote. So, yeah, and it's binding on all affected persons if that plan is approved. So unfortunately, not all business rescues provide 100 cents in the rand, but it still provides either an opportunity for immediate clarification or at least some light at the end of the tunnel you know, or the eye of the storm. And even 5 cents maybe now is better than 0 cents in liquidation. Liquidation is a zero-sum game. Liquidation takes extremely long. And the chances for a concurrent creditor to ever receive any benefit out of the liquidation is very remote. But yeah, not all business rescue plans propose a five cents in the rand to concurrent creditors. You'll most likely only see that in very larger rescues.
Yeah, so if I understand you correctly, it's best to ensure that you represent your interests well before that plan is approved and band together with as many people who share the same interest as you in those discussions and negotiations.
Yeah, at the first meeting of creditors, the practitioner gives the creditors an option if they want to form a creditors committee. And if they are exposed by if it's a large company like Group 5 or Tongaat Hewlett you've just mentioned, then I think it would be best that you form a committee and actively participate in that committee to at least see what's going to be the impact on yourselves as a SME.
Yeah, and then just closing off, Tian, I want to just get a sense from you what the future in SA is looking like and how businesses have recovered post COVID-19. Like you mentioned in the advisor view on the Manweb website that you wrote, you mentioned that in 2020 there are over 400 companies that entered the business rescue process. Obviously, we can understand that in the context of that time. How is that picture changing, and is the expectation that it will subside even with the issues that we are facing, or are there concerns that things might get worse?
I don't think I'm the right person to ask this question because I'm in an industry that only experiences doom and gloom on a daily basis. However, we have seen an increase in SMEs approaching us for assistance, a significant increase, like from one inquiry a month to one a week, sometimes two a week. We're looking at SMEs with turnovers between 20 and 50 million rand. So they usually employ between 20 to 100 people. COVID loans is an extreme issue. Input costs is problematic. So unfortunately, the outlook is bleak at this stage. And I don't see interest rates improving in the near future. And I don't see Treasury picking up the cost of the COVID stimulation packages that were enrolled. That burden is carried by the South African people and their businesses, unfortunately. And I think that we are really feeling the effect of it right now. But that's my view. I think I've also addressed it. Oh, there's another interesting statistic that one needs to look at. There might have been 400 companies that filed for business rescue. You must also look at the amount of companies that were registered in that period. And I think it was a record total of 500,000 companies that were registered at the CIPC. Now, that indicates other two things. It indicates that South Africa is booming economy and that it is a high entrepreneurial spirits, or it indicates that a lot of owners decided to just restart. That doesn't make sense. It's out of balance, that amount of companies. Yeah.
No, I'm sure the picture will start getting clearer as we go along, and we'll get a better reflection of how our businesses are recovering or not from the pandemic and the subsequent issues that have come as a result. That is business rescue practitioner Tian Herbst from the Southern African Advisory Company telling us about the business rescue process and how it affects SMEs from both sides of the spectrum. And at the end, they're painting a rather bleak picture of what the future holds for SMEs and what it's looking like currently for SMEs. Thank you, Tian. Thank you for joining us on The Pod.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please like and follow Small Business Conversations and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can tweet me at machoba_A or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.